Turning our attention now to antiques, appraisals, and auctions with Shirley Bauman, auctioneer and certified appraiser. She works out of the Madison area, BaumanAuctions.com and HeirloomAppraisals.com, a couple of her websites, and we'll probably talk about those a little bit, but we'll certainly zero in on sales and certainly on antiques. And Shirley, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's always a great pleasure to be here.
You are involved in a huge estate sale, and it occurs, is this weekend, isn't
it? This weekend. It starts at 11 o'clock on Friday, 11 to 4 Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and 11 to 4 on Sunday. And it's on the west side of Madison. Coney Weston Place is the street, and that's near O'Dana and Whitney Way. Mm-hmm. If you get that far, you'll be able to follow my signs. And estate sales are a little bit different from auctions.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. That's different from an auction.
It is. It's where I go in and we tag everything that's in the home. And we set it up basically like an antique shop. And you can come in and go shopping. And you don't have to bid for items. You see the tags, the prices. They're right on the items. It's almost like, going to an antique store.
Yeah. And so that's a lot of work to set that up.
It is. It is a lot of work. It takes much more time to put together than an auction. And it doesn't work for everyone. The people it works best for are those that have a lot of fine things and collectibles and things that people really would like to come and that are willing to have the home open. In a lot of cases, the owner of the items have either moved to perhaps a healthcare facility mm-hmm. or are deceased, and the family needs to clear out the house. And the house has to be big enough to accommodate a crowd. We usually yeah. can't do this in a small crowd, and it has to have enough interesting things in there to draw people to the home. And some people prefer that. They feel their things are very well respected that way. They can see them. In this case, the owner has gone to a healthcare facility, and she was brought in on Sunday to see all her things displayed in her home and just kind of went down memory lane, and it felt good for her. And other people say, I don't want strangers in the house.
Oh.
I don't want that. You know, you do always run the risk of, maybe someone who buys a piece of furniture bumping the woodwork or something like that. So it all depends on the family's needs and wants and the items that are available for sale and the house basically as it's laid out and its ability to hold people.
Well, now here's where this would be where your skill comes in, I would assume, because you yes. are setting prices, I assume, for people. And I imagine yes. sometimes there's disagreements on that among the owners or the children of the owners or what have you?
Well, we do talk about those things. And a lot of times people do have questions. And I'll give you an example of one that came up in this situation. There had been a piece of pottery that had been previously appraised for a four-digit figure.
We'll okay.
just go there. And I had it priced considerably less. And they asked me why. And the answer is, actually, threefold. That particular kind of pottery has gone down in popularity. Antiques are a market. They don't yeah. always just keep going up. Otherwise, we'd all just buy things and get rich. It goes up and down. So that's fallen a little bit out of favor. Secondly, the economy isn't wonderful. Mm-hmm. So we have to kind of take that into account. And third, we only have a couple days to sell this.
Yeah.
If you have all the time in the world, you're going to put it in an antique shop, but it's going to sit there and wait until that person comes along. That's a different story than having to sell it in just 3 days to try and clear the house.
Well, also, I think when there's appraisals are done, sometimes they're done based on the replacement value. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a different kind of standard, isn't
yes,
there?
Yes, there are several different kinds of standards. We have insurance value, which is normally, depending on how the policy is written, but normally it ends up being a replacement value. And that means what can we replace this item for in a reasonable amount of time, not waiting for a great sale or the bargain yeah. hunting, but can I go out and buy a replacement vase that's like this one or glass, whatever it is, and a one-of-a-kind painting? We have to look at maybe a painting by the same artist from a similar genre, similar size, that kind of thing. And what is that going to cost to replace in a reasonable amount of time? Then there's fair market value, which is, there's legal definitions here, but basically what it takes to exchange hands between a willing buyer and a willing seller, neither being under compulsion to buy or sell. So that's, you know, we get a lot of those from auction values and you know, sales, completed sales. A lot of people will go out and say, well, on the internet, they're asking $3,500 for that. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get $3,500 for that. So it has to be completed sales. And then there's liquidation value. Say there's bankruptcy, the house is foreclosed on, we've got to get that cleared out in 2 weeks. Yeah. Don't have a lot of time to advertise, to get people there, to even maybe know what's really there. And that will be a lesser value yet.
So the and again, the advertising of this has got to play a key role, knowing who to advertise, where to advertise, and how to advertise.
You bet. You bet. We advertise in the antique newspapers and in trade publications, but also in the local community. Anybody in the, who gets the State Journal and had it on Sunday could see the advertisement in that in the local newspaper, because a lot of people will come on the weekend. They have time free, and they're going, oh, I know where that is. Let's go to that sale, see what they have. So it does play a big part, and you want to get – and the internet is so important these days in reaching people. I've just had a person contact me from California who is there for the holidays but is really from Janesville and is asking questions about a particular kind of item that he's interested in, saying, you know, if it's what I think it is, I'll send somebody there, you know, on my behalf. So if he hadn't gotten known on the internet and seen that, he might have missed that opportunity.
So there you got somebody who's in California maybe buying something in Madison.
That's correct. That's correct.
Shirley Bauman, our guest today, auctioneer, certified appraiser. We're talking with her about antiques, appraisals, and auctions, and I would welcome your questions or comments. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Now, have you had some interesting things come your way in terms of antiques that, that you might have sold either by auction or otherwise?
Well, you know, every day there are so many interesting things. But yes, I have. In June, I think it was, I had a very large auction, an estate out of DeForest. And, you know, the family came to me and said, these three pieces my grandmother said were really special and we should be careful about these when the time comes to sell them. And as it turned out, those three things were nice, but they weren't nearly as nice as the things that they weren't telling me about. And one of them was a rookwood vase, tall covered jar type. Mm-hmm. And it was designed and decorated by Shiri Yamadani, who is their only Asian designer. And that particular piece drew bidders who actually came up from the Cincinnati Art Museum.
Oh.
And bidders as far away as Spokane, Washington. And we had five bidders on the phone at the same time for that piece, in addition to those people. And I'll tell you what, it stayed in Madison. A local collector was able to purchase it.
But probably for a pretty good price.
Yes, it was a pretty good price. It was good. One of the other things that's sold at that is something that some people might not like to hear about, but it is a hard to find collectible, and that was a Hitler Youth knife. And again, it had the swastika. The Hitler Youth were a group that, you know, Hitler was bringing them up through the ranks and came, you know, from the families. When we sell estates like this, the interesting thing is they haven't been on the market before. Usually they come through families, you know, that came from someone who came from Germany, brought that with, and you know, we don't like what happened in that era, but it's part of our history. And so that's why people collect things like that.
Let's go to Troy in Platteville. Troy, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. I have a letter opener that was my grandmother's for years and years, and she passed away, and I always liked it. And it has a jade handle. And it's kind of carved into the shape of a dragon. And I had a friend who always thought, wow, you know, that looks antique. You should look into that. And actually, last year we went to the Chicago Museum of Science and Industry. Or no, it was the Field Museum, I'm sorry. And they have a gem room, and in this gem room were these jade belt buckles that were the exact same thing as the handle on this letter opener. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, this obviously it was, you know, kind of recycled and made into the handle of this brass letter opener. But then my friend who had suggested that I, you know, look into seeing if this is worth anything, he checked, and one of them sold on Christie's for, like, $3,000. And I was just wondering if there are any places in Madison that would do appraisals on such things.
You know what? We're going to take a quick break for a look at the news and weather and find out what else is in store for us. Shirley Bauman will ponder that, and we will have an answer for you right after we take a look at the news. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking antiques, appraisals, and auctions on the Ideas Net. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Shirley Bauman, auctioneer and certified appraiser, works out of the Madison area. Great to have her back, and thank you for listening in. Shirley, we had someone who had a letter opener with a jade handle and in sort of a dragon shape, and then saw at a museum in Chicago some jade that looked just like what was on the handle and selling for, I don't know, $3,000 or something like that, wondering if there's someone that could appraise this and what would be taken into account in the appraisal.
Well, the first thing I'd have to say about this is there's very, very many different qualities of jade. And some can look alike, but may not be of the same quality. Second of all, the dragon is very, very common in the Asian culture as a symbol that they carve jades into. So because it looks alike or exactly alike to the untrained eye, might not mean that it is. However, on the other hand, it could be. I haven't seen it, but I just want to preface by saying that. So someone needs to look at the quality of the jade. They need to look at the quality of the carving of the jade and then how it's handled in this letter opener. And again, if it could be a copy of a famous type of carving. I could look at it. I hesitate to say this because Asian arts are not my specialty, and I usually have to call in another specialist that I work with out of state to help me determine some of these. I may even need to draw on a jewelry appraiser to help me determine the quality of the jade. So in that roundabout way, I could certainly take a look at it if that were the person's interest, but those are the things we have to look at. And we'd look very closely at any of the fittings. Say there must be some metal fittings, whether they're silver, gold, base metal, whatever. And maybe on those fittings there are some markings that would also tell us where it was made, who made it, something of that sort. Mm-hmm. And of course, I don't read those languages, so
right.
We'd need to have help with that. And so again, one has to weigh the time and effort and cost put into researching that compared to what one might get as a return on the value.
Kathy and Dousman, let's turn to you now. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Thank you. I have six David Weidman prints that are framed, signed, and numbered. Now, I know they're not antiques, but I'm wondering if there's a market for those.
Well, I have to tell you right off the top of my head, I'm not familiar with Weidman. What is the subject of the prints?
Well, there's two. One titled Bird Tree, another titled Geese.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember the other one.
So there are four wildlife prints.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will tell you that the market on the wildlife prints has dropped some. And the reason is there were so many of the hunting and duck clubs and all of those kinds of groups that have auctions, and they have the artists donate things, and they've sold so many of them over the years that a lot of the people who buy that kind of thing already have them. And it's not that they quit after one or two, but the market has really been saturated. They've become very, very available. Now, I don't know Weedman particularly, and maybe he's a newer artist or someone that people are really sought after. But even, you know, our Wisconsin's Owen Grammy's work have gone down, and it's become quite easy to pick up at reasonable prices, where at one time we were getting on Grammys and Redlands and that, we were getting maybe $450, $500 a print, framed and ready to go. And nowadays, we might get $150 on those.
Yeah.
So, and even less in some cases. So that's the general situation of what's happening with the wildlife prints.
Yeah, is there some place that I can go just to research this?
You know, I would research on the internet by the author's name, or the artist's name, rather. That's where I'd go with that.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Susan emails wondering about getting into the antique appraisal, estate sale, auction business. She has a bachelor's in art history, and she's wondering, should she go to appraisal school, for example?
Well, if you're interested in that area, it's a great thing to do. I got my education in appraisal through the International Society of Appraisers, and I highly recommend that group for their appraisal schools for several reasons. Number one, they are the only major organization that deals strictly with personal property appraisals, not real estate. Mm-hmm. So you go and you have a choice of antiques and residential contents and appraisal of fine art. So you could do that. And what you need to do first is go and take the core courses in appraisal studies. And that, and you know, teaches people basically what you do, how an appraisal is done, the laws, the methodology, the research, and those kinds of things. And that's about usually a week-long course. And then you do your specialty studies, whether it's fine art or antiques. We also have gems and jewelry and machinery and equipment in the ISA. And you do your specialty studies, and that would be then you become an accredited member after that. You can also become certified, and that means going on a little bit further, taking up more exams and tests and proving you have to turn in some appraisal reports and proving that you know what you do. And then you have to requalify every 5 years. So you have to be committed to doing it. The courses are not inexpensive. It's not something you do as a hobby. But if you really are interested in that, maybe as a fine art major, you'd be interested in the appraisal of fine art, and it would be a great opportunity for you. But I would look into those organizations and
so the International Society of Appraisers.
Yes.
And just go online with that.
Yes, you bet. You can find them online. And they have a wonderful education program that's really their strongest feature is their education.
Turn to Gail in Fort Atkinson next. Hi, Gail.
Hi. I have a bit of a cold, so I might sound funny. I inherited a baby cradle from my mother's family. I did some research on it. I went to the Madison Public Library and looked up in their archives. My grandmother was alive when I got it. She told me this story. She was born in 1883. When her mother became pregnant, her dad said, "We have to have a special cradle. How can we get one?" And mother said, "Go down to the Frouchies on King Street, I think it is. They just came over from Switzerland and were in the business of making caskets. But maybe they'll make a baby cradle." So my great-grandpa did and went down, and the Frouchy brothers built this gorgeous wooden cradle for the new baby. It's been in the family ever since. It's in my living room now. It is about 2 feet wide and 3 feet long. On the sides are flat railings like that are all carved The front end of it goes about 4 feet high and is all carvings, as well as the back end. It stands on a solid frame with, like, glider metal mechanism in it. So there's a handle so you can turn it on one way, and the whole cradle glides back and forth, or you can switch the handle, and it's locked.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think?
That sounds like a beautiful cradle, and I love the story. And this is what we call provenance. And I would highly encourage you to write this story down so that it stays with the cradle and the rest of the family knows it, because otherwise it's things. With the story, it has a family connection. And we know who built it. We know who it was built for. We know who slept in that cradle. And that's provenance. And that that helps with
absolutely
valuing it. It sounds lovely with the hand carving on it. I'm sure it has great sentimental value. And I think it has monetary value. I can't give you a number over the air like this because that is something I would have to see. But it sounds like it's a family heirloom and perhaps something you'd want to have insured.
Oh, yes. Well, when I went to the library, I made copies of the newspapers and of a lot of all the information available on the Frouchy family. And then I have written down, up until now, the history of it and all the babies. And I have pictures of all the babies that have been born.
Wow.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Well, I think you've got something. I'd hang on to that. You know, I think I'd hang on to
that. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'd hang on to that. And I hope, Gail, that you pass that along to the next generation, because that's something that everybody's, especially with all the pictures and everything. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. And the story. So be sure to write that story down. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. We can't give you a value on it, but it's a great story, and I thank you very much for telling us about it. Gail in Ontario, let's go to you next. Hi, Gail.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Good.
I am calling. I have was given to me by my mother an Emerson Snow White Seven Dwarfs AM radio made out of wood that's been carved.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in the mid-50s. It used to work. I'm afraid to plug it in because all the components and the cord are original. Won't even dare to try it, but it was something that my mother had said was handed down from her mom. Where do I check to see the value of radio?
Well, the real value on this one is probably in that it's a Disney character collectible. I'd look on the radio and see if anywhere it says Walt Disney Enterprises.
I've tried to. No, I have. It has a model number burnt on the back into the wood, and then above it a metal tab that just says Emerson Radio and Television. Then inside, through a little slot, I see a lot of. I don't know if they're not serial numbers, but maybe they are. But nothing with a Walt Disney.
It also might be tagged as just WDE for Walt Disney Enterprises, or just WD. So if you do see that somewhere, that might help.
Well, I had looked, but is there a site? I'm not too computer savvy, but is there a
site that she can go
to? Well, what I would do, I don't know a specific site right off that I could tell you that would have this, but I would go searching for Snow White Radio and
Wood.
Emerson
mm-hmm.
Wood. Use those terms and keep putting those together, maybe in different combinations, quotation marks around Snow White Radio, carved wooden radio, Emerson carved radio, and do those in different combinations and see if you can come up with something like that. Again, I think the value is in the Disney, and there are certainly many websites for Disney collectibles. So you can search for that, Disney Collectibles, and maybe on through that you might find that. And you might find an expert on one of those sites who runs that Disney site who you might give a call or email to and see if they've seen something like that. If they don't have one of those on their site, what they could tell you about, they could tell you about it.
So just Disney Collectibles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There you go. Thank you very much for calling, Gail. Appreciate it. We had Brad from Minnesota email us. It has a second edition Jane Eyre copy written 1874, which he discovered while sorting through his deceased grandmother's estates. And he says it's in fair condition by my novice estimates. Any ballpark of what it might be worth?
Well, second editions don't hold the value that a first edition does. Obviously, the first is the first, and that there's only one first edition. Mm-hmm. So that makes a big difference. And in the world of paper collectibles, which books fall into, condition is just critical. So if it's fair condition rather than mint condition, that makes a big, big difference right there. Even though books from the 1800s, for them to survive in good condition that long is something, they really don't hold a significant value. Now, that's a classic book. But still, I would say you might be in the, $25 range, something like that, at probably the highest in fair condition. Give or take, it's hard to say on the phone like this. But first editions are what really hold the value. I've even appraised a book from the 1500s. That was still only worth like $400. You'd think that must be invaluable to have lasted that long, and that was for insurance purposes. So,
we have Don from Boston on next. Don, hello.
Thank you for taking my call. We have four Winslow Homer prints. They are, I don't know the exact name of them, but they are Troubled Waters, is what I kind of explained them as. I was wondering, is there a place that we can have those appraised or any information on it? We have been to the libraries, and we have looked at the publications that have been prepared in regard to Winslow Homer. But we can't find these exact four prints that we have.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the kind of thing I do regularly is appraise those kinds of things. And I am accredited in fine art, and these prints do fall in the category of fine art. So I could certainly do that for you. And if you're interested, you can go to my heirloomappraisal.com website and find out how to contact me to do that. As an appraiser, I subscribe to many databases that the average person wouldn't have access to. And that's some of the way we find information and have connections with people in the large auction houses and that kind of thing. So we do have research opportunities that aren't available to the general public. And I do want to mention that there are prints, and which means they're not originals. They are prints of originals. And we'd have to look again. Are they chromolithographs? Are they actually etchings, what are they in particular? And that can only really be determined by looking at them.
All right. There you go. Thank you very much for calling. We have Alicia, who emailed and has a 12-piece set of Crooksville dishes, off-white with gold detailing and with a rose. Received the set in 1984 after my grandmother passed. Wondering if there's, she says it has sentimental value to me, but I always wondered if it was worth much as an antique.
Well, it's a real interesting thing about sets of china right now. If we're appraising them in a lot of cases for insurance replacement value, the numbers can come up pretty high in some cases. But if we go to try to sell them, it's a tough sell because people aren't entertaining that way anymore. And people want things they can put in the dishwasher. And they don't necessarily want a fancy set of china that they only use once a year and take up the space in their house for that. It just isn't as important today because we're a lot more casual in our entertaining than we used to be. Crooksville isn't one of the major names in dinnerware production. But it certainly would have some value. I don't know the pattern offhand and things like that. But again, the fair market value is very low on sets of china, but the insurance replacement values can be high. If you want to go to a website called replacementslimited.com, you might get an idea of what they're asking to replace one piece of your china for. And again, that's not fair market value at all. Just be aware of that. What they're trying to do is say, oh, I broke this cup to grandma's set. And they're going to charge you the highest price they can get to replace that cup so your set is whole. So just be aware of that. But we do consider those replacement services in insuring sets, so you can get an idea that way.
On to Bob in Madison. Bob, hello.
Hi, Larry. I have an antique pump organ that's about 120 years old. It was my grandfather's, and I'm 73. It's Kinner's and Albertson from Pekin, Illinois, and I also have a 85-year-old player piano with Edmund Graham of Milwaukee as the manufacturer. So I don't know if you have any idea what those are worth or how I would try to get an appraisal. Or
Sure.
It's a hard thing in this market to sell a pump organ. You know, people aren't that willing to get that kind of exercise while they play their music anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a hard job to pump that organ and make the music. And, of course, some of them work. There are certainly collectors of them. I don't want to say that. But there are people who collect them. But as if I've had them in sales and auctions, it's been hard. I do have a pump organ in this one coming up this weekend. And it has been sitting on in a porch in a sunroom kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's been a little bit exposed to
light
changes and heat and cold, especially. And, you know, we're going to try in this weekend. I'll give you a number on it. We're trying to get $100 on it. But now, this is a spinet style. Some of them, the Victorian ones, can be very tall, very carved, have candle shelves on them. And sometimes people collect them just for their look and their shelf, you know, the cabinet. On it.
It's very ornate, and it's got mirrors and
Yeah. And it's a hard thing. Sometimes the best thing to do is find a historical group, donate it, and take the appropriate tax deduction.
Uh-huh.
Because the person who has the space for that in their home, who doesn't play it or doesn't restore them, is a different thing. Now, I think there is a gentleman in Middleton, or at least there was, who did restore some of those things, and I can't recall his name right off, but you might do some searching there. Player pianos, again, they are have the value if they have the rolls with them, because otherwise...
Box, big box of rolls with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, they're a harder sell, but I've worked with people to donate them to senior facilities, and the seniors love them because it takes them back to the days they remember, and you then could take a tax deduction for it.
So a senior facility, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like that. Well, so there you go, Bob. Thank you very much for calling. And Shirley, thank you so much. Here we have all the lines filled, but we're about out of time. If people want to learn some more, again, they can go to BaumanAuctions.com.
Mm-hmm.
And Bauman is with two N's.
Yes.
And then the other site you have is heirloomappraisal.com.
Yes, and I'd like to encourage them to go to that site if they're interested in the estate sale I have coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because there's more information there and photographs of some of the things we have. So if they scroll down on the page, it's right under the photograph on the right-hand side. There's a link to all the information about the estate sale on my brand new website. So if you've been there before, we've updated it.
Shirley, thank you so much. We'll look forward to your next visit.
And thank you.
Shirley Bauman, our guest. She'll be back and we'll do it again. Phil Pelletieri joins us tomorrow on the Ideas Network.